Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today is the feast of Saint Anthony. I want to read this little paragraph that introduces him, because I want you to see some connections here. He was born around 251 in Upper Egypt, and he responded wholeheartedly to the words of Christ in Matthew, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell what you have, give it to the poor, you will have treasure in heaven, then come, follow me." Anthony sold his family estate and sought out a solitary life in the Nitrian desert, then later at Pispor on the banks of the Nile. His followers lived in nearby hermitages, and this primitive, organized life earned Anthony the name Father of Monasticism. This is where it began, 200s. His erudite sayings, that is, his very learned sayings, formed a spiritual touchstone for succeeding generations of ascetics, that is, those who really choose to give up everything and simply seek the Lord in a profound kind of way. He was the forerunner for Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict learned a great deal from this Saint Anthony. And I think while we're not called, most of us not called to be hermits or ascetics in the desert, there is a way that each of us is called on to a greater holiness, a more generous response to God. Ask Saint Anthony to help you, to help you see what it is that God's asking of you, and to give you the wisdom and the courage to respond. Today, the first reading is taken from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Brothers and sisters, God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love you have demonstrated for his name by having served and continuing to serve the holy ones. We earnestly desire each of you to demonstrate the same eagerness for the fulfillment of hope until the end, so that you may not become sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience are inheriting the promises. This is why it's good to read the lives of the saints. Be encouraged by them, be strengthened by them, be inspired by them, and then see what God is asking of you to grow in holiness of life. When God made the promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, and he said, "I will indeed bless you and multiply you." And so, after patient waiting, Abraham obtained the promise. Now, men swear by someone greater than themselves. For them, an oath serves as a guarantee and puts an end to all argument. So when God wanted to give the heirs of his promise an even clearer demonstration of the immutability of his purpose, that is, the unchangeableness of his purpose, he intervened with an oath, so that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge might be strongly encouraged to hold fast to the hope that lies before us. God never lies. God fulfills his promises. You can trust him. As my father used to say to me, you can take that to the bank. You can rely on it. You can depend on it. God is unchangeable. He loves you. He wants you to become more his. The letter to the Hebrews continues, we are encouraged to hold fast to the hope that lies before us. This we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and firm, which reaches into the interior behind the veil, where Jesus has entered on our behalf as forerunner, becoming high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. So our faith and our hope are like an anchor of the soul, sure and firm. How deep is your faith? How great is your hope? Ask God for it. Ask God every day for it. Open my heart to receive more faith, more hope in you. However you want to pray it, wherever you need it, ask him and continue to ask him. He will answer. Psalm 111, the Lord will remember his covenant forever. Lord doesn't forget who we are. The Lord doesn't say, oh, you, I forgot all about you. God never says that. Never. And he knows you even better than you know yourself. He knows you intimately. He knows what works for your welfare and what works for your woe, as Scripture says. And he wants to guard us against that which leads us to sadness and discouragement. And he wants to encourage us on that which is going to lead us to the fullness of life. Open your heart. And the responsorial psalm for today is taken from Psalm 111. The Lord will remember his covenant forever. Forever. Doesn't say he'll remember it for a while or he'll remember it through your generation. Doesn't say that. God remembers his covenant forever. Your covenant with him, the covenant he made with you in baptism, your covenant with him when you grew to understand what your baptism meant, when you made a covenant with him in your confirmation, when you made a covenant with him in your first communion, reconciliation, all those are expressions of this is my God, and I choose to love him and to serve him all the days of my life. That's what God's doing for you. He's drawing you into a deeper covenant with him. But he gives you totally your free will to say no. He never wants his love to be coerced. People love him, well, I love him because I had to. Or I love him because if I didn't, I'd go to hell. I love him because he's my Savior, my Lord, my Redeemer, my Father, my Sanctifier. I owe everything to him. That's where you want to get. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 23 to 28. As Jesus was passing through a field of grain on the Sabbath, his disciples began to make a path while picking the heads of grain. At this, the Pharisees, here we go, the Pharisees now, the observers of every jot and tittle of the law. And I'm not downplaying the law. I'm criticizing their approach to the law. That was all pride. See who could keep every jot and tittle of the law perfect, and then they could, quote, look down on everybody else who didn't do that. And then they would have more power and authority. We see that in our own lives. At this, the Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and he and his companions were hungry? How he went into the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of offering that only the priest could lawfully eat and shared it with his companions. And then he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. The day of rest is made for you. Live it. It's not observing the law. Well, I can't do this and I can't do that and I can't do the other thing. Jesus sets aside the Sabbath so that we might rest, that we might bless one another, that we might spend time with one another. Our society has totally lost that. We're always talking about how tired we are, and we are, because we're going at 100 miles an hour. Society is moving us just faster and faster and faster. And the idea is the more you get done, the more important you are, which isn't really true at all. What's important is that I do God's will every day. And if God asks one thing of me in the day, how pleased he is with me and how much he honors me. But for the Pharisees, they had to go around watching everybody else to make sure everybody else kept the Sabbath because they were the keepers of the law. Do you see how pride gets in there and takes over and it becomes sterile? You lose everything. God doesn't want us to serve him because we're terrified. God doesn't want us to serve him so that we get lots of brownie points. God wants us to serve him, and in this particular case, by observing the Sabbath, so that we may be rested and able one day out of seven to rest more and to be able to serve him more fully with joy and with peace. not I've got to do this and got to do that and got to do the other thing, check off the checklist. Okay, God, now I'm sure you're pleased with me. I've done everything I was supposed to do. The real question is, what was our motive? Am I doing everything that I'm supposed to do so that I can hold myself up as the paragon of perfection? That's what happened to the Pharisees. It was a good desire to serve God, and the evil one twisted it. So they ended up serving themselves and their own reputation and judging and condemning everybody else who didn't do it the way they did it. We all know that's in us. We all have times when we give in to that. But don't become a Pharisee. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's what God is asking. That's the goal. That's what God is asking of us. Take a look in your own personal life and in the life of your family. Take a look at how you observe the Sabbath. Don't get caught up into rigidity, please. That just sidetracks you. It should be a day in which you bless the Lord and thank the Lord. It should be a day that when you can, you spend it with friends. If you have to work, if that's your obligation, and in order to keep the job that you need, you have to work on Sunday, then do it. But then look for, even if there's an hour at another part of the week, even when you're swamped, can I take an hour and just take off and take a good long walk or read a good book and spend a little time thanking God for his goodness to me? Maybe that's all you can do in order to bring in enough money for your family. I understand that. God understands that. But that doesn't mean that, therefore, I don't observe the Sabbath. You ask God, show me a new way. Show me a creative way in the midst of my circumstances that I can both get some rest and I can thank God for his goodness to me in the past week. That's part of the meaning of the Sabbath. It is to worship him. Yes, that's the primary call on the Sabbath, to worship him. But it's God's intention that we also get rested in our spirits so that we can continue to serve him. Take some time, perhaps as a family, and thank God for his blessings of the past week. It is remarkable what you learn when you actually recall what has happened in the last week, and you get eyes to see what you've gone through so fast you almost forget. But if once a week you recount the things that God has done for you in the past week and the blessings that have come to you, it is amazing what it does for your faith, for your hope, and for your love. So take a look at this area of the Sabbath. Be creative. God is honored when we observe it. And the life of your family will be protected as well. May God just abundantly, brothers and sisters, in this new year, grow in faith. And this is one of the ways to follow what the Lord is asking in regard to the Sabbath. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, to obtain my free booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That is 1-800-282-4789. Faith More Precious Than Gold. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then click on Free Booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold.